Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
My family here today. I have three of my grandchildren here, I think. Love them. We've got Lily. I don't know this. Young people everywhere, I love it. Just have a look round. Before I tell you what an awesome bunch of people we are, particularly Larry. Larry's pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah. This bloke only moved house yesterday. He's pretty awesome. Yeah. We haven't told his family his new address. They'll work it out. You ready then? Yeah. So, my name is Jonathan, and it's my real honour to be the congregational leader here in Worthing, which really is an easy job. Well, let's just say there's an ease in it. If you know anything, how many of you know about people? How many of you are people? Put your hands up if you are people. Okay, I'll just start with the easy one. How many of you know anything about people? Can I just share this thought? Is that sometimes getting people to do what you know they want, they need to do, but they don't want to, is like herding cats. How many of you have tried to herd cats? How many of you like cats? Meow. It's only for that, Judy. How many of you have a cat? Well, we need to pray for you later. How many have a dog? That sounded like a sheep. Is it a sheep dog? Alina's got a bog. What? A sheep dog. Do you wear it like a jumper or something? All right. Okay. So many testimonies, the orange cards that came out earlier, two or three of them mentioned about this Missions Week. And I'll just take a minute just to explain that. As a congregation, as part of Kingdom Faith, we believe that God has got a relevant message for today that needs communicating in different ways so that people can have an opportunity to give their lives to God, to have their destinies changed, to have their lives made well and whole. And in the Bible school, it's great to have some of the college students with us. They're only with us for another couple of Sundays, and then we're launching them into placements in 26 different churches in 5 different nations, so that'll be fun for them. So on the 14th of June, we're going to kind of celebrate them a little bit during the service time. But the Missions Week kind of started on Tuesday, finished today. And I was reading through with Andrea some of the responses that people have given, and there are many, many. Hello, Merle. How are you? That's Merle. Merle's from Estonia. She just came for the day. Oh, she's going to go back later. That's dedication and commitment. I love it. But Missions Week has been a really powerful week this week. And in the mornings, just before we've sent the teams out, we've kind of just had a time of prayer and kind of worship similar to what we've just experienced. And every morning, just God's presence has become more and more and more real. Is that okay? Those of you that are there, just encourage me, yes? It's right, isn't it, Neil? Okay, the new, yes. Amen. So on Thursday, the guys were down in Worthing, and 5 people gave their lives to Jesus, which is brilliant. Yeah. It's awesome, particularly if you've already given your life to Jesus, you know that that is a totally transformation experience. It's an event. It's something where God cuts across our history and changes it to be like his future. And 5 people, I can't remember their ages, but I think there was a breadth of age, decided, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus and live the rest of my life for him and with him. But then there were many, many more who just responded to the healing power of Jesus and received some kind of miracle or some kind of healing in their life. And why am I saying this? There's a couple of reasons why I'm saying this. The message that I want to kind of share today, we've been looking at why is it so powerful? Why is it so significant to be in the body of Christ or the church? And today I want to talk about living on benefits.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. It's actually God, like these 5 people realized it in a new way just, you know, 48, 72 hours ago, is that God wants you and me to live off benefits. Yeah. Yeah. But not social service benefits or some kind of support benefits, but his benefits. So we're going to look at a few scriptures really, really quickly. And Leon, who has been up since 2 this morning, he's working at Estrada's last night, is that right? Where? Cocked. Sorry, advertising on the radio, that's fine, just send me some money. Leon was at Cocked last night until about 1 this morning. He's tired, he's French, everything's upside down behind me, back to front, I have no idea. But he's here, is that okay? So Leon spent about an hour this morning trying to sort these things out on the slate. So if I don't quite work, forgive him. Is that okay? Because he's looking at it in French and he's tired. And his wife has just hummed me, so I'm going to keep going now. Is that a hum in French? Was that a hum in English? Okay, thank you, because I understood it. So last week we were looking at the power of two and how God puts us in the body so that there's always one other person that we can walk our journey with Jesus with and see the power of God manifest. And that's awesome. But today it's about living on benefits. So we can look at a scripture which, if you've kind of had a Bible for a bit, you might know this scripture. It's Psalm 103. And it was interesting how during the prayer and part of through how Richard was leading, as we were looking at one of the Psalms, which is Psalm 23, and this is just 80 further on than that, but it's written by the same person. And David says this in the beginning of Psalm 103. If you haven't got a Bible, it's fine. The scripture, the Bible references will come up behind me. Is there's a clue here. Praise the Lord, my soul, all of my inmost being, praise his holy name. And I just want to suggest to you that you and I were made, that our innermost part, the bit that only we know about and God knows about, was made to praise God. Is the innermost part of your life and my part was actually made to know God and to praise God. Does that come up behind me? Excellent. Well done. But God wants to work in such a way in your life and my life that you don't need a reason and I don't need a reason to be happy. His presence in our life generates happiness. The Bible puts it this way. The joy of the Lord is our... How many of you know what strength is? Strength is more than the ability to cope. This means strength to overcome. This is more than just the strength to deal with school or deal with college or deal with workplace. It's a strength to overcome. It's a benefit. It's a benefit. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So your insides, whether you're 2 months old, 3 months old, act as if you're 5 months old, wish you were, whatever age you were at, the inside part of you, the inside part of me was shaped or made to know God's presence and therefore the joy of knowing Jesus. We were made to be joy carriers. It's a benefit. So these five people that gave their life to Jesus on Thursday, their whole joy attitude, their whole joy culture, if you like, would have changed. You don't need a reason to be happy, to be joyful. When you know Christ, just knowing Christ is joyful. Woohoo! Is that a woo from me? That was an Australian woohoo. We've got a whole multinational service going on here today. I love it. We've got people from everywhere, even Essex. Next one says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his. Do you know that sometimes we just need to be reminded of what we've forgotten? It's different than when we just don't know. You may just not know Jesus today, in which case, how can you remember what you don't know? But if you do know Jesus, I want to remind you not to forget what you know. Was that right? Was that okay? That's all right then. So all of us, all of you, all of me, all of our lives, it says in this verse here, my soul is my mind, my will, my emotions. It's everything that makes me do and be what I stood in front of you now. All of that, God wants to invest himself in. It's a benefit. God wants to affect our will. He wants to influence the way we think. He wants to impact our emotional life. It may be that for some of our journey, we're up and down, up and down, up and down. We're happy 1 minute, sad the next. We're full of joy 1 minute. Well, God wants to equalize that and just make it a trend upwards. so that it's not like we're some emotional yo-yo. But when everything is going great, we feel brilliant. When everything isn't, we feel rubbish. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Was it just me? So one of the benefits here, do you know what a yo-yo is? How many of you know what a yo-yo is? Some of you need to get out more. Do you know how to stop a yo-yo going up and down? Cut the string. It's true. What are you laughing at? So one of the benefits of knowing Jesus here is he wants to cut the string that can pull our emotions up and down and stabilize it with his presence. It's a benefit. Knowing Jesus means that you benefit from a constant sense of well-being. We don't need an exterior force or a negotiated conversation around our outside. Just the benefit of having Jesus in your life stabilizes your emotions. Woohoo! So that we don't become like yo-yos. Hallelujah. The next one, it says this. How does this work? Who forgives us all our sins? And what sins? It's just when I haven't done the best that God planned for me to do. That's what sins means. It can be anything. It can be thought. It can be spoken. It can be done. What it describes is God has a tremendously perfect, full of faith and adventure plan for your life and mine. And every time I just decide to do my own thing, I've moved out of God's best, and therefore it's called sin. But the awesome thing about God is he forgives us. Do you know what forgiveness really is? Do you know what forgiveness does? Forgiveness sets people free from their past, including the one who forgives. Forgiveness breaks the string of emotional hardship that happened before. You can break it through the power of forgiveness. We need help to forgive fully, because in our own lives, we find it really hard to forgive and forget. I don't know about you, but I used to. I used to say, yeah, I'm really, really sorry, but I used to put it in the back of my head and say, one day I'm going to have you. And don't you think that you didn't, because we all do. Because I used to say, yeah, I really forgive you, you know, because I'm supposed to. I'm a pastor, I'm a leader. I really forgive you, but I'm going to just put a little note of that. But that's not how Jesus is with you or with me. When these five people last Thursday said, please forgive me, he did, and he forgot what they'd done. Not because God hasn't got a good memory. God's got a great memory. It's just that he chose not to remember. So today, God wants to encourage you, if you already know Jesus, that as we break bread in a moment, and for me this is the sign of where all this took place, is that in a moment of time, a couple of thousand years ago, Jesus presented something which was the power to forgive and forget. There's a saying, I can't remember who said it, it's quite old now, is that when the devil or the enemy or just thoughts begin to remind you of your past, speak to them about your future. Because one of the things which can haunt us, one of the things which can really trouble us, is this memory of how we used to be, what we used to do, how things used to work out. And the benefit of knowing Jesus is he makes all things new. Doesn't he? He makes all things new. You don't have to live yesterday again. Woohoo! Next verse says this, and heals all our diseases. Now, I just want to draw your attention to a key word there. All. Disease is a lack of peace. It's a lack of ease. Disease is where some part of our body, whether it's our soul, whether it's our mind, whether emotion, doesn't matter, hasn't quite clicked into the fullness of God's best for us. So I'll start crying in a minute. I've heard this before. Then it goes on and says this in the next one, who redeems our life from the pit. How many of you have fallen in a pit? How many of you wish I have? No. How many of you have fallen in a pit? How many of you have been locked into a room, can't get out? How many of you have just got lost and your sat-nav's taking you through the wrong place? How many of you have... Okay, right, most of you. This word redeem means not only does God put it right, but he corrects everything that could have gone wrong too. The power of redemption is more than just helping us to get it right. It puts right everything that might have been an implication of that. Redemption is really powerful. It's a benefit. One of the songs that we sing is Christ the Redeemer. What does it mean? It means that your life, your history, your past, Jesus doesn't just want to forgive and forget it. He wants to redeem it. He wants to make it better in the future than it ever was in the past. Next line says this, and crowns you with love and compassion. He raises our head, he changes our heart, and he refocuses our motives. Have you ever tried to wear a crown? How many of you are dressing up? I know he is really, just won't admit it. How many of you went to dressing up? Crowns. How many of you were? Can you remember when you were little? Some of you can't remember. You can, yeah. So to wear a crown, to wear it properly and walk around, you've got to keep your head right. Because if you tip it to one side or the other, it falls off. Okay, don't believe me. We're going to have to demonstrate this. The Queen does that. I have no idea. Can I borrow that? Oh, I've got a full bit. Not more of that. Dan, come and join me. Let's welcome Dan. Right, here's Dan's crown. Let's just have a little walk around. Walk up and down the stairs, mate. You were doing pretty well. It's because you got a slippery head like your dad. Just imagine this is his crown. But then, as Dan's kind of going through life and he looks after our youth, so he's allowed to kind of feel a little bit under the pressure sometimes. Is that right? So let's just say for a moment you've had a bit of a bad day at work and you forget to look at your benefits and you kind of tip your head down a little bit. What's going to happen? Right. So when we're crowned with many crowns, not only does it give us such a tremendous sense of value and worth, but also it keeps our head level. God doesn't want you or I living with a path behind us of dropped crowns. So we've got, you know, a crown of God's mercy, and then suddenly we don't be merciful. Well, we've dropped it then. Or we've got a crown of God's grace, but we're not gracious to others, and we've dropped it again. Or maybe we've got this crown of just praise, but we kind of wake up and it's like, we just drop it. But the only way that you can drop a crown is when we either tip our head down or tip it. Do you know what I'm saying? So part of the benefit is God keeps us level-headed. Do you want to say like that? Take a try, okay? I'm not intimidated. Next verse says this. You can't see, but his eyes, it's like Action Man. That was brilliant, mate. That's just really good, because sometimes stuff in life comes at us to get our attention, to get our focus. And if we don't forget this benefit that we're crowned, we begin to look down. How many of you know that no answer that you will ever need will come up? It only ever comes down. It never does. If you look in your Bible, those of you that kind of have a Bible, Jesus never looked down. He always looked up when he prayed. That's kind of how he was, kind of what he did. And then it says, hello. All right, fella. Nice one. Next one says this, and satisfies our desires with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I was going to do a whole chat about eagles, but I don't really want to do that. I just want to say one thing about this verse. And that's a simply one. We can find loads of things in life, in ambition, in wealth, in finance, in prestige. We can search for things in terms of position. And they can satisfy to a level. But nothing satisfies like the benefit of knowing Jesus. There is only full satisfaction when we know the satisfying presence of God in our life. Well, I'm sure I'm not just speaking for me, but I spent 26 years trying to be satisfied with everything outside of Christ and didn't find it there. And you won't either. Because the only way that we can get satisfied is through knowing Christ and through living for him. And that's great. But the consequence of this, and this you might think, well, you know, how does that work? Is that every single moment we make a decision to live for Christ and not for me, not for others, is our youth is renewed. I think that's quite good. So I'm just going to make this statement. How many of you want to live like an eagle? Then don't spend too much time with turkeys. It's not even Christmas. What I mean by that is if you know Christ today, there's something in you that was meant to soar in life, to catch the wind of God's heart and be lifted above it. There is something about you which was designed to go harder than any other bird and survive. But if you want to live like that, don't spend too much time with turkeys. They're just interested in themselves, particularly in December. That's why I think Sundays are important. That's why I think small groups are key. That's why I love our open house. I'm really sorry that Janet and I won't be there this Saturday, but we actually wait. But it's going to be great because I'd love to spend time with other eagles. Because it helps me learn to soar differently. As I hear things like the orange cars today and just people's testimonies of what God's done and how they've lived the best they can with the power of God, the benefit of God, it helps me soar. As we just kind of met up the other day in the bloke small group, just sharing thoughts and challenges and how we found God in those challenges. And, you know, we've got our second pensioner in the small group. Now he's sat here. It's all right, Larry, you're the first one, but I wasn't going to tell everybody. But as we began to share kind of thoughts and stories and the challenges of life and how these men and the women with the ladies who have just caught God and they've learned to soar above it, it helps me to learn how to soar above it. Do you understand that? Because one of the key benefits, and I'm going to kind of finish with this, is that the benefit about being in the body is we can learn how to fly. We learn how to fly. Some of us might just be having a bit of work done in the hangar, which God's just kind of doing some stuff and preparing some stuff, and that's great because we're destined to fly. We're just getting some help. Some of us might be out on the runway. We're just taxiing around. We're just checking direction and future. We're making sure that we're tanked up and topped up. Some of us are just running up to the runway where it gets a bit noisy. The engine starts to go a bit and everything starts to vibrate a bit and life is whizzing past the windows. And then some of us, it's just probably for me, the best part of traveling is just that second when the wheels just take off and you feel a little bit of G. I like that because I'm a bit of a petrol head. I like that, okay? Me, I just do that all the time. It wouldn't get very far, but it'd be fun. And then for others, you're just cruising. And as you cruise, the engine changes because they back the engines off a bit and the air's changed and whatever. And other people are kind of coming into land. All of us are on different phases, but all of us were made to fly. Whatever age you are, God wanted you to fly. To fly through life. Caught up in the presence of God and in the passion and the purpose of God. He wants us to fly in the workplace. Fly in the home. Fly in the marketplace. Fly on a Sunday. Yeah, some of us might need a bit of help to take off, but we're destined to fly. You're an eagle. You're not a turkey. And I just felt in my heart, and kind of shared this with Richard as well, is that part of breaking bread this morning, we're going to do that now. For me, it's a very physical, tangible opportunity to remember where the benefit came from. Because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just forget, because life is life and the world is the world. But breaking bread reminds us that Jesus took his body and said, "This is my body given for you," and he broke it. And in that is the benefit, not just of bread, but his life. And it says, "And after supper, I took the cup and blessed it and said, 'This is the blood of the new covenant, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And as we break the bread and take the wine, let's remind ourselves of the benefit of knowing Jesus. So I'm just going to read these out. You don't have to put them on the slate. It's fine. Just read these out. "Praise the Lord, my soul." I'm going to talk to my soul now. I'm going to make a decision. Come on, soul. Whatever you feel like, let's praise him. "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all of my sins and heals all of my diseases, who's redeemed my life from the pit and has crowned me with love and crowned me with compassion. And right now, today, beyond every other thing that I can dream or imagine, he satisfies me with good things so that my youth is renewed." I believe in the next few moments, you're going to feel younger. Sorry if you can't hear me, those of you a bit whatever. God wants to renew us a bit in our youth. Put a bit of a spring back into our spring. Who was it that said, that was you, wasn't it? Robert, he made my day looking out. It was raining. He said, "Tomorrow's the first day of summer." Thank you very much. Thanks, Robert. What a legend. But God wants to put the spring back into our step. He satisfies our desires with good things, and our youth is renewed like the eagles. So as we break bread and as we take the cup this morning, expect something to be renewed. Bit of hope, bit of passion, bit of purpose, bit of a sense of destiny. Expect to be energized. Let's all stand up, shall we? It's great having everybody together. I think so. I love our family services. And we're going to kind of keep the bread and the wine down this end. So if you want to come as family and break bread together, you're really welcome to do that. If you're not quite sure who your family is, you stood next to them. If you're not sure who your family is, you're stood behind them or in front of them. So bring someone with you. We're all family here today. Just us, mate. We're all family here today. Father, I want to thank you so much that in the next few moments you want to remind us all of the benefits of knowing you, of being in the body of Christ where we can learn to fly like eagles. And I thank you for your power at work in these next few moments, restoring, redeeming, reminding us, healing us and setting us free. I thank you for the power of your life given for us. I thank you for the power of your plan and your purpose for us, breaking through into our past, breaking through into our history, and giving us a future like your future. I thank you that you want to lift our heads today. Remind us that you crowned us with love and you crowned us with compassion. And I thank you most of all, Jesus, that as we celebrate this bread and this cup, you want us to learn from another how to soar like an eagle, soaring above life and everything life has. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, so we're just going to kind of give, this is part of our worship time. Again, just come with someone, grab them, pull them, carry them. Just come and break some bread, and it'd be good if you bring in people, maybe pray with them as well when you've taken the bread. There's some over on Grenville site where the keyboard is.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.